When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 149 of Star Wars and Scotch. Sorry, Ben, you are one shy of 150.
Dang. It's all right.
You almost made it.
It's all right. I'm just happy to be here.
Well, as you can hear, we brought Ben, Professor Broman, on today. Our old friend, business partner, blah, the list goes on. Ben has been texting us throughout the entirety of Ahsoka, so Tim and I thought it'd be a great idea to chit-chat with Ben and get Ben's thoughts and on Ahsoka, so we're going to dive into that in a bit. But first, before we do that, we would love to for you to remember that fall is upon us, and that means King's Coast Coffee is in full stride. Not that it's not the rest of the year, but, you know, got our autumn rose.
We really swing hard during the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is it. This is the time of year you want to dive into it. Yeah. So make sure you're kingscoastcoffee.com. We have some barrel age goodness dropping on Friday, and all sorts of fun stuff. So kingscoastcoffee.com. And I hope you're following Lab 77. I'm following Lab 77. I'm sure Ben is following Lab
77. I am.
That's awkward and uncomfortable. but there's been some great merch designs of our Dark Lord, Tim, over there for the Halloween spooky season. So make sure you get your hands on those. I was standing next to Amy last week, Tim. She was at the office when it went live.
Oh, God.
And one of the pieces didn't go live or something. No, and she said, beanie, she's like, hold on.
The beanie was free.
The beanie. Yes.
Oh, my God. That was a mess.
The beanie was free.
The amount of crap that I got.
Oh boy.
For not giving away.
You can't give people a free beanie. Wow, you're gonna make them pay for it. If this was Dr. Lupo, he would give us free beanies.
That's
no, he wouldn't.
That was my chat.
What a great chat.
No, he wouldn't.
What a great chat.
Yeah, it's almost like Tim, out of his own money, bought the beanies, and then out of his own money, bought the screen printing machine to print on the beanie. Or was that a sew? That was
the embroidery machine for the
embroidery
beanies. Yeah,
the embroidery machine and all of the things that go along with it, out of his own money, and then wanted to sell it as to make a profit on it. That is a weird concept.
Just call
Tim,
me Mother
I don't know,
Teresa, dude. I'm just out here giving like away free clothing.
Either way, you should go to Lab 77 and get the spooky stuff, especially the beanie.
Yeah, should. Please buy the beanie.
Buy the beanie. Buy the beanie. And we are sure that you've seen things for GCX, but yeah.
Friday
is the day.
Oh, shit. That's you, the 13th.
Friday the 13th. We did that on purpose, though.
I'm not even.
Do you think we jinxed ourselves?
I think we'll. Nah, I'm going to be at a wedding,
I'm not superstitious, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, this one's in Omaha. The other one's in Missouri at a wedding.
Yeah.
So
I believe I'll be in I'll be in the Missouri part of Missouri.
Oh,
so
Missouri.
It'll, yeah, it's where we're driving. It's rural.
It's been many a year since I've been on Missouri.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I have no plans to go back to. No offense, but
I mean, why? Yeah. Wow. Wow.
There's a lot of so parts rude. Of the country, in my defense,
yeah.
that I have been to
yeah, you,
that I'd have no plans to go back to.
Agreed. Yeah.
A lot. A lot. Like probably that. More than that I do want to go back to. But yeah, GCXevent.com. Dates are up August 16th and 17th. If you saw 15th, we apologize. That was our web dev had a misconception about day zero events, and he took the liberty of putting 15 instead of 16. That's been rectified, so we apologize. It is the 16th and 17th. We are not doing a three-day event. I need sanity. You know, that's like birthday row, too. So me and Sam Lupo's birthday is the week before. Tim's birthday is that week. Amy Havelock's birthday is the week before, I think, or that earlier that week.
The day before, or day after yours.
So, yeah, it's Sam, then me, then Amy in a three-day span. And then Tim is the following week. And then the end of the month is Mindy's husband, Tim's son, and my wife. So, yeah, we're not crazy about August, too, but it's the best time of year for this. But we're trying to make stride. What everyone needs to understand when it comes to event planning is these things are planned out 3 years in
advance. Multi-year.
I don't sit there like last week, like, hey, what do you guys think about these dates? How do they sound? So, you know, this year was a bit of a I don't want to say a scramble, but to get things together. But we're looking at options for the future and when we want it to be and things like that. So those conversations have already started, but you won't see the effects of them till a long time from now. So GCXevent.com.
Long.
August 16th long. And 17th.
Girthy time.
In Orlando, Florida. So we'll see you on Friday for the on sale. There is a sale for the on sale too. I should mention that. So if you buy on Friday, you get one of the best deals you'll get all year.
Big discount.
So GCXevent.com. Let's get into the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Before we talk about Ahsoka, I want to bring something up, Tim, because this, I think, will perk you up for the day. I don't know if I sent you this article. I might have. But obviously, did you catch the Acolyte leak trailer yet, or you still haven't had a chance to watch
no,
it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it's take a look. Ben, it's out there too. But regardless of that, and this is a quote.
Oh, I saw this.
Acolyte is supposed to be the darkest, most adult content ever that Disney has made in Star Wars.
Sex and decapitation. Can't wait for it.
Man, I'm excited about that.
We already get decapitation, so I don't know how much darker you get.
We had sex in Andor.
Yeah, we did. Well, we didn't see it, though. We just knew
Well, I hope
happened.
We don't see it. It's still like, come on, like, we don't need it. It's Star Wars. Like, we don't need to see it. Implied is enough for me.
Spice and banging. Nice.
What was I watching? I was watching Carnival Row, season two.
Oh, how is that?
It's good. Yeah. It's good. It's a great continuation of season one. And there's a sex scene, and I'm watching it, and Danielle's sitting next to me, and she's like, this is going on for a while. And I'm like, yep. And then they're just moaning, and I'm turning the volume down because the boy is still awake in the other room. And then there's sheet pulling, and I'm like, is this going to end? Like... So, by the way, it didn't really advance the plot other than the implied sexuality. So, there. But back to Acolyte.
Yeah.
It'll probably be very violent. I have a feeling, you know. Again, you got to remember, too, when it comes to, like, the darkest thing we've ever did. Anakin killed children.
Yeah, like. pretty dark. They just didn't show it.
They're slowly starting to show it a little bit here and there.
Yeah, you're right.
In the newer stuff.
It like gets closer and closer. Like the blade gets closer and closer to the child every time.
Well, in Obi-Wan and in Mando, there's just bodies of children on the floor in the flashback scene. Yeah. So I don't think they'll ever show him striking child with lightsaber, but I think we've gotten plenty to imply that children have been murdered in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Like the person who's directing this is, aren't they like known for like their horror films?
She did, what was that? Russian Doll on Netflix.
Yeah. So like the tone should that be was, like, I'm excited for that. I mean, like, it's going to be edgy, dark side stuff. Be a good time.
And it, based on the trailer, it seems to be following what we're surmising, which is fallen Jedi or former Jedi searching for thing. The one thing I didn't expect, and this is just literally based on the trailer, so I'm not speculating beyond that, is it seems to be the person is trying to turn others.
Oh.
There was one part where one of them confronts the other one and has a few words. So that was the only other thing that I saw to imply that, you know, there could be more than one. The question is, and I'd be interested to hear Ben's thoughts on this, is acolyte means that they're follower of someone or something, right?
Oh.
So given the time period, we could potentially, I don't know if you heard this rumor, we could potentially, we addressed it a few, probably earlier this year, be meeting Darth Plagueis, who is Darth Sidious's master, who teaches him how to manipulate midichlorians and all that fun stuff.
That sounds awesome. But so
the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise that he tells Anakin.
I like that. My question then is, because what I've seen a lot of people, like, so when is Acolyte supposed to be set?
100 years before episode 4.
It is the end of the High Republic.
Ah, okay. Then, yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is essentially the potential to show the fall, not the fall, because it doesn't. It's a very slow fall from the High Republic to where we are, but the beginning of the fall of the Jedi when they're at their. Well, I mean, we're seeing that in High Republic anyway in the books.
Yeah,
it's slipping.
Yeah. So.
Well, I loved it. I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, Tim and I've talked. We're not crazy about Phase 2 of the High Republic. Phase 1 was much better. Phase 3, I think, is now.
I couldn't get through any of the Phase 2 books.
It was rough.
I was like,
because I had to, not because I wanted to.
I tried. I stopped. It felt too ancillary. Like, it felt like a pocket story that like might be relevant in like 4 or 5 years in the primary universe, but like I couldn't really wrap my head around why I was being told the story I was being told.
Yeah. I if you want a good book, I just finished this one. It's about the Inquisitors. This is Rise of the Red Blade.
Ooh,
Ben,
that sounds awesome.
I'm into that. Yeah. So, and Tim, your reservations going into that book are valid now that I got to the part.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, good.
Make sure you're in the right place if you are going to read it. It's towards the end of the book.
Okay.
And it's not a feature. It's an in passing statement about someone, but it, you know, your reservations are correct. I'll leave you with that.
Got it. Okay.
So it's a really good book though. And it details basically the story of one of the Sith, one of the Inquisitors, Ben, that we meet in the Vader comics.
Okay.
Ooh. It's her story from the time she's a Jedi to her fall to her ultimate demise. I can say that because she's killed in the comics.
No, she's been dead a while. She's always been dead.
She has. Yeah. Her death is in the comics. And then they describe it in detail in the book at the end.
Nice.
One of the other little bits of news, this comes from Variety. Remember Guillermo del Toro was supposed to direct a Star Wars movie?
Yes.
And it got killed. Well, we now know the plot. He came out and said it was supposed to be the rise and fall of Jabba the Hutt.
That would have been so good.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the movie.
He would have handled that material beautifully.
After reading the article, he was very into it. Like, he was going to take it seriously. It wasn't going to be this big joke. But he said, you know, they ended up axing it based on the amount of content they had and they wanted to produce. And obviously Jabba's not at the top of the list of characters that need a live action story.
Not really?
So his final quote was, "It's not my property and not my money. So it is what it is."
It's good.
But yeah, it was supposed to be a Jabba the Hutt story. I'm curious.
I don't think that would have done well.
I don't think so either. I think an animated Jabba would be fun.
Maybe.
Like a couple, 2-3 episode.
Yeah, like a short. Yeah.
It'd be I think that would be fun.
A feature, like an Ahsoka level production and all of that on Jabba.
Yeah. You'd also have to read subtitles the whole time.
That'd be fun.
Love it. And would subtitles. Han make an appearance?
I guess it depends on what part of the timeline we're talking about.
hand.
If it was Rise and Fall, I would assume it would you know, be his.
I want Warlord. I want them to show the transfiguration of the large Scottish man who then turns into Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, yeah, from the original film.
The original Jabba the Hutt was a humanoid. It was
with a big furry jacket.
The same like pelt style that the or the pigs. Not Kowakian. Who are the pig guards?
Gamorreans.
They that same like style of clothing, and like that was it.
Yeah, and then we got.
You know, I mean, like that
the
was
dialogue's
it.
Hysterical.
Yeah, he's like, oh, because technically, you're in there.
Wasn't it filmed with that guy? And then they
So the way that they did it is they when they remastered it in the early 2000s. They went in and CGI'd because they had CGI'd Jabba for episode one. They used that same style for the remake of episode four. And the part where he walks on top of his tail, mm-hmm. that's actually edited post. They actually had to physically animate Harrison Ford going up and down and stepping on Jabba the Hutt's tail. It doesn't happen. That was all done in post. Years later.
Interesting.
Which is wild. Yeah, there's a whole, like, I remember watching the behind the scenes as a kid on the collector's edition for the remaster because my parents got it for me for Christmas one year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe one day the comic I got you for Christmas a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
They should turn that into something.
Oh yeah, the original Starkiller.
The Star Wars. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that would be fun to make something. Maybe someone could in the style of Visions or something make that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like an alternate timeline Star Wars.
Yeah, it's not canon, but this was George Lucas's original story. Yeah. I don't know, I think it would be pretty interesting. I was actually watching an older interview with George Lucas. Or clips of interviews, and Ben, you might have seen these. There was one where he's being interviewed by Jon Stewart, and Jon asks him what Obi-Wan's home planet is, and he says, oh, "Well, I've actually never revealed it, but it's called Stew John. It's Obi-Wan's home planet,
Stew John."
And Jon Stewart starts freaking out. He's like, "Are you serious? Like, am I getting this as canon for me?"
Amazing.
It didn't pan out that way, but it was a very funny moment. But the other thing was, you know, the way he's been he wrote Star Wars was he was like, I was anti-authoritarian, like college kid.
Yeah.
We were in the midst of the Vietnam War. And he's like, I wrote it from the side of the Viet Cong. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that's who I modeled my story after was, you know, the insurgents against the big bad empire. Mm-hmm. And that's who, you know, I did. And so many people don't see, you know, the rebel aspect as I don't want to say anti-American, but it's very much, you know, not what most people would construe. Most people go like, oh, 1776. That's where their head would go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting that the Viet Cong were the inspiration there.
I did see that interview.
That was good. Yeah. Especially with everything going on right now. Like I saw that video pop up a few times.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting times. Well, two other bits of news, then we'll jump into Ahsoka. One is Disney announced they're going to continue to reissue Legends novels. They said, you know, we love the Legends stories. We think they're wonderful. So the Legends series, the Essential Legends Collection is what it's called. They'll be releasing them in batches for years to come, they said. This month, I know Annihilation, which is an Old Republic one, is coming out. And then the Republic Commando True Colors will be out at the end of this month as well. So it's cool to see them embracing Legends and not just sweeping it aside. So all the people, to the person years ago that I got like thousands of likes on my tweet when I said Mickey Mouse is coming to your house and obviously burning books on your front lawn.
Oh my God.
Disney has embraced. It's one of my best tweets ever.
Yeah.
I got into a Star Wars fight with someone and I said, like, is Mickey Mouse literally coming to your house and burning these books on your front lawn? Like, come on.
Oh boy.
To that person out there who's probably not listening, you're still getting your Legends books. They're reissuing them.
What's this motherfucker going to say today?
How many people do you think hate listen? My new thing is I would love I went in TikTok comments again. I shouldn't have, but I did.
Stop doing
it. I went in TikTok comments again, and one guy on our World Between Worlds conversation said something like, that's not how the World Between Worlds works.
How the fuck do you know?
For fuck's sake.
They've been there.
And I go, well.
They've been there.
Because Dave explained, but very ambiguously. But they only watched the first 2 seconds of the clip because I literally say 15 seconds in, yeah, Tim, because that's not really how it works. So I didn't want to bring that up.
Clickbait.
So I'd love to work with you, Nick, and come up. Nick's our editor. And come up with ways to test who is actually watching the full 30-second clip and who is not. So we should talk about that. Last bit of news before Ahsoka. This is weird. The High Republic characters are making their animation debut in Young Jedi Adventures.
Nice. Good. I really enjoy Young Jedi Adventures.
But it's just weird because, like, Bell Zedifar is there with what's his hound called?
Oh, yeah, Ember.
Ember. With his master.
Yes.
Who's going to be eaten by the... The Force, what's the Force beast called?
Not the Displacer beast. I've been playing way too much Baldur's Gate. The Leveler.
The Leveler. He's gonna be one of the victims.
Turned into a husk.
And he's just on this children's show now.
Well, the kids don't need to know that. they need the emotional attachment. So they fall in love with his character, and then 10 years later, they read the book, and they're like, oh, no.
That's what all the memes are saying. It's like, wow, we're really setting the younger generation up for massive amounts of trauma in the next 10 to 15 years.
I had a TikTok video of a mom cooking dinner, and you can hear her daughter in the background go, Mom! Mom! And she goes, what's wrong? She's like, you didn't tell me Arthur dies! She played Red Dead Redemption 2, and she got to the end of the game when the tuberculosis takes Arthur, and she is beside herself.
Just
like, man, I can't wait for Kyler to play games that I know are going to end horribly. And just
well, that's why I'm hoping this Old Republic thing comes out, because I would love to share the moment with my kids that and be like, it was you the whole time. But, you know, like, come on, hurry it up. We've waited long enough. Master Maru is in the show in the screenshots, too. So I'm sure there'll be more, but.
It is it's a great way to get a new fan base excited about a new part of Star Wars.
Well, Disney's 20 years ahead of us when they're planning how this is all going to work.
Sure.
We're in the now. We're the ones who watch the original trilogy, and that, you know, it has nothing to do with us at the end of the day.
No,
so,
of course not.
It is
Star
what
Wars
it is.
Is for kids.
Star Wars is for children. Freddie Prinze Jr. said it best. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Ben's thoughts on Ahsoka.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, with Ahsoka,
yeah.
You have not watched all of Clone Wars.
No,
you've
I haven't.
Not watched all of Rebels.
No.
So, your context.
I feel like my context is what a lot of people have that have only watched live action stuff. Like, I think there are a ton of people that have only watched live action. And even you both have tried to get me to watch the anime stuff for so long. And it's just like, I'm going to do it. But it does start off very childlike. Like, it is very obvious that Star Wars is for kids when you watch that, even though there's key plot points. But like I knew about and watched some of, you know, those episodes, clips and shit online. But yeah, I loved Ahsoka. I was looking up like season reviews yesterday, and apparently that's not a common. I don't know. I listened to a lot of people's critique about the whether it was a story or particular characters. And maybe I'm going to get your podcast blown up. I don't know. But what is with the fucking just absolute all out assault on details not being what you want?
Welcome to the Star Wars community.
Y'all need to stop.
But that's every community.
I am the guy that enjoys most things. So I loved Ahsoka. I felt like as a series, it had its own voice. Like cinematically, like everything about it felt like, okay, this is Ahsoka, but it also felt Star Wars. I told both of you after the second or third episode that this is the first time I personally, as a Star Wars fan, felt like I was enjoying a truly authentic Star Wars story. And it not like I hated the other stuff. The other stuff was great. But when the Jedi are in the middle of the story, it just feels better in the Star Wars universe for me. And so having a Jedi lead and really opening up what I feel like to everyone in the live action audience, a whole lot of the universe that you would have never expected, the stuff that's been like kind of tucked away or things that you would know if you were like a fan of the books, but they to just bring it front and center in 4K felt really good, right? Like seeing live action Thrawn felt good. Seeing the world between worlds felt incredible. I didn't even know what the fuck that was. I messaged you guys. So I was like, what the hell is this time space portal that they went through? And you're like, that's the world between worlds, you know, where like force ghosts come from or whatever. I'm sure that someone's being mad about that. But like it's a space that seems like the embodiment of the unity of the force, right? Like you can go there and you're technically everywhere, or you can get to everywhere. So I loved like everything about Ahsoka. I really enjoyed the end, and I really enjoyed, and I think this is why I like the story so much. When you're telling all of the side stories in the universe, when you're more deeply informing people about what is happening, stories like Andor, right? They're fantastic. Lots of political intrigue, like lots of high stakes. You really feel the human cost of the universe. That was like, I felt like that was the impact of Andor. What is an average citizen being affected by the Empire feel like is happening to them? And there's this huge emphasis on like this is how the machine works and this is how it eats people, which
I feel like with Andor, Ben, Andor was more relatable.
It was a very human story
on a human level. Andor is more relatable. By the way, did you know that they tried to get, instead of fight the Empire, they really wanted fuck the Empire because they're allowed one fuck?
Oh right, that would have been great.
But Disney was like, eh.
So fuck the Empire would have been fantastic. But on the
Ahsoka side, and that it's more of the, like you said, the Jedi is at the center of the story, and the Force and the mystical stuff. And I think that's where good storytelling comes in, as opposed to telling a human story where Tim and Kevin and Ben can really relate to a struggle and a place in time and reference points in history that have been like that. Whereas this is more of like, I'm along for the ride because I don't relate to any of this. Aside from, there are personal level struggles that these powerful people go through, like Sabine's identity crisis and things like that. So it is woven into the story, but Andor is very palatable as opposed to Ahsoka, which is a fantasy story.
Yeah, Ahsoka is a fantasy story. But it's the first time in a while that instead of examining, because I personally believe that the mythology in the Star Wars is man's relationship with the machine, right? And you can go, there's conversations of Joseph Campbell and George Lucas talking about, you know, is this a good framework to look at your storytelling? And he's like, yes. So we've seen how the machine eats and destroys people, destroys planets, destroys lives. But the counterpoint to that is like the very organic and connected nature of the Jedi, right? Like that is, and that is so, it is so interesting and purely done with Ahsoka, because one of the things I love, and I think I have the timeline right on this, is she becomes Ahsoka the White and then goes into the whale. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is very, and I think it's intentionally different than many stories you see where the hero is changed through the journey inside of the whale, right? You go into the whale is a representative in a story of like going deep into yourself. You're cut off from the world and then you're reborn. Ahsoka's rebirth happens before that, making that choice to go to the dark place, an intentional choice, not one that is forced, which changes the bent of the rest of her story, which is why I think we see a massive change in her character. We see a lot of peace throughout all of the stress and confidence throughout all. I mean, really horrible. Like they're trying to deal with like a galaxy ending threat on the other side of the fucking universe with a goddamn group of little like traveler bugs. Like it's not the rebels don't have a lot going for them. They can't even go fast. You know, it's just like high armor stats. That's all they've got going for them. And so rolling into this final battle with a plan, and obviously things, you know, not successful in the end, but I think that it is telling an important story. And I wasn't really sure what it was until I was doing more research about the ending and learning more about that final scene with Baylan, where he's standing in front of those gods and it's, you know, the father, the son, and the daughter. And if I understand everything correctly, the daughter sacrificed herself to save Ahsoka.
Right. She sent her life force to Ahsoka. Now, there's a spiritual, metaphysical thing going on there because she is still inhabits that owl that you constantly see following Ahsoka around, the Morai owl. Mm. So that's some sort of symbol of her life force being attached to Ahsoka. Yeah, we don't really know the significance of it.
Okay.
But it travels through space somehow. So there's some sort of deity-esque. We're not really sure of the details, to be honest. So what
I found very interesting at the end and doing research, right? Because the mother did used to exist, but now she's Aboleth.
She is Legends. She is not in canon. So the father, the son, and the daughter were made canon in Clone Wars because Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Anakin go to Mortis, which is the god planet. Now, Mortis is not on star charts. It's not somewhere you can just go. They were taken to Mortis, Tim. Is that the best way to describe it?
It shows up. Yeah, it reveals itself to them.
Right.
Yeah, so the mother is not canon in the current era of Star Wars.
I feel like she's kind of like, so she's canon in the background.
I would say it makes sense.
I feel like since they exist, like she has to exist.
That's
exactly.
I mean, and you know, the cool thing about knowing that Star Wars is a myth is there's a schedule on the clock. And one of the things that has been absent from the Star Wars story for a long time is that like we're trying to bring balance, but balance is always trying to be brought about by picking a side, right? And I understand, the father creates balance by setting the scales correct, by creating order.
The father basically keeps the son and the daughter
in check.
Keeps them in check.
And under control.
Under control. So even
the mother had an Adam and Eve type thing.
Yes.
She wanted to live forever, to be with her family. She drinks from that fountain, apple of good and evil, however you want to call it, and it drives her insane. She goes absolutely insane.
Doesn't she like stab herself with a dark side dagger and then fall into a light side pool or some crazy stuff? And then
becomes hentai Joker monster mommy.
Yeah. So I think that in order to bring unity, you have to have a mother figure in a mythological story. And so we might be seeing and on the scale of myth, the masculine is a divisive force, and the feminine is a unifying force. And if the unifying force in this story, the deity that is the most powerful feminine force in the universe, is corrupted, then like unity can't happen, because if you're trying to bring about unity by casting rules, continuously creating more and more rules and more structure, you're continuously dividing things. And that mindset feeds the machine is what I thought was really fascinating, because when you create this separation and you don't allow ideas to, you know, you can't find the gray area, you can't cross the, you know, like the empire, things like that. They're just natural consequences of constantly trying to separate ideas. And so,
which is interesting, because when you talk about rules, one side is very obsessed with order and law and order. Mm-hmm. And the other side is so obsessed with power that there are no rules. The only rule is that you kill to get what you want. Right. And to attain more. So the absence of, or the one is full structure to a constraining point, and the other one is the open palm to like just absolute chaos and more destruction.
Right. Right. And so we have an absence in the Star Wars universe of like this positive unifying mythological figure. And it would be really cool to see if that's what they're building towards with Ahsoka. I know everyone's like, oh no, he's gonna find Palpatine or whatever.
I hope not.
But I think, you know,
I hope not.
You know, you can see the setup in Ahsoka, especially since Ahsoka is embodied by the divine feminine figure that we do know about.
Can I ask you something else then?
Yeah.
The theory that goes along with this. So there's like an attachment theory, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
Is that because the Mortis gods are technically dead, that Anakin, Baylan, and Ahsoka would replace the father, the mother, or the father, the daughter, and the son.
That's possible, but I think that you could look at it in a Greek way and say that they are their champions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is my this is my Hercules, you know, yeah, this like is that. My Achilles, right? I think that the strongest Jedi are... they're the ones who have the most mastery, right? Control over the mystical of the Force. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, especially in Ahsoka's case, if she's literally alive because one of these figures took a vested interest and then shows up with an owl, which would be like a reference to Artemis or
yes.
I think Artemis. Yeah. So there is some referential imagery for that kind of understanding, is that these individuals are going to pick their champions to play their part in the living world.
Athena,
right. Yeah, I was like, yeah, Artemis is hunting, so I didn't think it was... I knew I was off. But I think we're going to see... We've kind of seen that the whole time, the light side and the dark side, and who is empowering them. So I'm hoping that after this ending that we're going to start seeing more of the Star Wars cinematic universe begin to deal with these really deep and apparent questions. And I think that is a way to grow a story up and still tell a story for kids.
From a writing standpoint, yeah. You have, like you said, Joseph Campbell inspired George Lucas. I never realized they had conversations. That's going to be what I do later tonight. Is look those, are those like documented?
Gonna,
you can read them. Or
I'm going to look them up.
So you have Joseph Campbell, who was inspired by, or George Lucas, who was inspired by Joseph Campbell, which is where a lot of, you know, these correlations come from that you're describing. George Lucas passed his knowledge and his stories and everything down to Dave Filoni, and we have Dave Filoni. For so long, we haven't had that in Star Wars, that whole influence that George and Joseph and whatnot had, because Dave was working on Clone Wars. And we do see a lot of what Ben is describing, Tim, in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yes.
So it would make sense that it would get into live action. And we see on the moral side of mythology and kind of the stuff that Joseph Campbell would touch on in the past, we see a lot of that in Mandalorian, in my opinion, too.
Yes.
Sure.
So, and Dave has his hand in Mandalorian. Yes. So every time Dave gets his hand on something, I think we see a lot of what you're describing and talking about right now. So it makes sense that whether Heir to the Empire is a single movie or a trilogy, and whatever else is going to come after this from a live action standpoint that adds to his, as we call it, the Filoniverse.
Yeah.
The better Star Wars
would make sense that the questions that you are seeking answers to will get answered in fun ways that aren't apparent, but if you really dig into it, you get. But on the surface, it's easy for a child to take the, like, my son would sit down and watch that show and he would fall in love and have, but he's not going to think about the things we're discussing right now.
No,
it'll be very palatable, good and evil, black and white for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never had these like in-depth thoughts when I was watching Star Wars as a kid. It was just,
no,
it was
no,
good
no.
and evil and people with lightsabers, and that was about it.
But as, can this stick I found in my yard be a lightsaber? Exactly. That was my goal.
But that's the joys of having a universe like this, is that it grows with you.
Yep.
Because it's fanciful, but it's a clock, right? Myth lets you know where you are in life, and when you can go back and rewatch something. And, you know, I was talking about this yesterday with my chat. I loved episode one because it came out when I was younger, and I was like, that is like, I was like kid Anakin, like, I'm a kid, I can be important. But now you go back and you watch that and you're like, fuck, like, you're relating to Qui-Gon, you're relating to everyone who's in their midlife, who's been in this world for a long time, and you're seeing how they interact with things, and you're like, holy shit, like, that looks just like me doing this, or like, I've experienced these things. So good.
Even a perspective lens, because I'm rewatching Harry Potter for the first time for Halloween, and like Snape on the second time around.
It's very,
you're like, how did I miss that? You know, there, I watched the first one last night. The, I forget the professor's name, Dark Defense Against the Dark Arts guy.
Well, they changed. They changed the Dark Arts professor out all the time.
Yeah, it's Quirrell. It's
always the bad guy, except the guy. Yeah, so Quirrell is sitting next to him during the sorting hat ceremony. Mm-hmm. And there's a shot where Harry, when he doesn't want to be in Slytherin, makes eye contact with Snape. Snape's looking at him. Now that I know who Snape is and what his purpose is, the look no longer looks angry. It looks concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Quirrell has his back to him, like that.
He's talking
meaning,
to himself.
Yes, but can Snape hear Voldemort too? Does he know that this is happening, but he's got to keep his undercover because of the Dumbledore? Like, it holds a whole new level of complexity to something in the beginning where I was just like, all right, this is a fun little kids movie. No, it's not. There's a whole new thing going on here. Yeah. So I get, even watching something again, like, I plan on watching Ahsoka all the way through with Hunter after he finishes Rebels. And I know it's going to feel completely different because every Star Wars show, when you break it up into pieces, it always creates frustration. Yes. When you watch it as a whole, it's usually fantastic. So even besides that, like you said, I love the mythology as a clock thing. I think that's so cool. Even that, but even going back and experiencing it again, you will see and hear things now with context that you did not have previously.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. It's really neat to see that. So I see, when I look at Ahsoka, I see, you know, the calendar of events. And I think that they are setting up, Ahsoka to either like start the onset of this unity, because we're still trying to figure out everything that's happening. You know, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not Rey was going, or for me, discussion with myself, whether or not Rey was going to be this unifying figure in the universe and to bring everything together. And they do that with Rey, with, you know, all the bloodlines conversations and all of that stuff. But it's still, I think it still took place in these people are our champions kind of conversation. And there hasn't been this huge overarching resolution of balance in the Force. And I think that there's a question. I think that there's a question that Star Wars can ask that I don't, that maybe we're going to get to, is balance necessary? Because if balance is necessary, then order must be enforced. And if order must be enforced, then we're right back to where we're at right now.
Right.
Where someone is going to enforce that order, whether that through power, which the Jedi had done previously, although not, you know, like, everyone has used power to bring about order. So what
power corrupts.
Yeah. So what happens when we let go of the order and we simply let things exist? right? Which,
and that's the wheel that Balin keeps referencing.
Right. Right. So I'm fascinated with where they're at right now. To talk about like the cinematics, which was some of the first stuff I mentioned to you. This is the first time since I was a kid where I found myself asking, how did they do that? Not because it was anything that was like, whoa, my brain, special effects. It was like, I know what these characters are supposed to look like because I've seen them animated. And we have all experienced the absolute fucking tragedy of watching something animated come to the screen with real actors. And you're like, wow, they fucked this up. This is awful. But with Ahsoka, every single character was great. They matched their character models very well, their movement, their speech patterns, even the even the color palettes that they were using for people, they all matched up really well. And I want to give you gotta give respects to, like, massive props to everybody on that show who was in hair and makeup and wardrobe, because if they wouldn't have nailed it, it would have been almost unbearable to watch.
Yeah, especially for episode 5 when they did the Clone Wars flashbacks.
Oh my god,
that had to be perfect. If it wasn't, it wasn't going to be as impactful. And so, like, they everything from Anakin's like wardrobe for that. I mean, like, it looked like the Battlefront player. Like, it was perfect. It was so well done.
It was so good. And I remember watching that episode, and I was like, once I figured out what was happening, I was like, hope they don't mess it up. Because like that's a part of the universe where people are super invested. They so like people much. Have watched that stuff over and over and over again. So
I
was the whole time I was like, how are they doing this? How are they doing this? How are they making everybody feel like so alive? On all of the humor translated really well too to live action, which is also something that you can lose, especially when you have like super goofy humor, like. Still worked out. Like, I every time Chopper beeped, I laughed.
Tim and I had said too that Anakin, or Hayden, I should say, Hayden had to be Anakin. He made Anakin, and then Clone Wars Anakin is not his version. He had to be that version, which was different than the character he played in the first two.
Yeah,
man, I hadn't considered that. 2 and 3.
So someone did a really interesting analysis of Hayden's performance as Anakin in episode 2 and episode 3, and then looking at his performance in Ahsoka, and they were like, the premise of it was George Lucas isn't a great writer, or he isn't a great director. He's a great writer, but not a great director. And I was like, what do they mean? And they're like, look at his cadence when he's talking. He's emulating James Earl Jones. He's emulating Darth Vader. And that's why he talks the way that he does. You will try.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, that's not the way that, like, the way that Anakin is portrayed in the Clone Wars makes way more sense from just like someone's just like speech pattern and just overall just like the way the dialogue flows. And so when he just like, I think that's why people fell in love with Hayden again, because he was able to really become that Anakin instead of trying to make up this young version of a James Earl Jones Darth Vader.
Yeah, because even when in Obi-Wan, when his helmet gets cracked, he's talking like he does in the James Earl Jones way. But again, that makes sense for that moment.
Correct.
He's in constant, persistent pain. Like, there's all sorts of reasons that someone would talk like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to episode 3 on the platform, you had no reason to. So to reinvent your own character that you already played 20 something years later, that's range as an actor. And, you know, first, if you listen to the first 100 episodes of this show, you're going to hear me make fun of Hayden playing Anakin plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And I am more than happy to admit that I am one of the people that Tim just described that will probably not do that anymore because of his performances in the last few shows. And, you know, I'm sitting here going, like, we've done it with you. We did it with Ahmed Best. Like, do Jake Lloyd next, because he's the next one that needs a redemption story and all of this, because that poor kid, Star Wars basically ruined his life. So, like, do Jake Lloyd next. I'm loving the redemption stuff. I'm loving it. I think it's one of the best things that we've done as a Star Wars community in such a long time.
Hearing Ahmed Best talk about his experience after episode 1. Like, oh my God. Like, he talks about like how excited he was to get a Star Wars role. like all these things. He's like, I was just doing like a shitty little, like, just like no one knew gig. Like I was in this like show that no one had ever watched. And then I get this call and my agent's like, it's from Star Wars. It's Lucasfilm. It's ILM. They want you to be on this. And I think that was really, really cool to like, see, like it sucks to hear when he's talking about like wanting to end his life. But then also this whole redemption arc is just so good.
Oh, he's going to get, you know, at Celebration next year, he's getting a standing ovation because they're 100% bringing, they're going to give him his, the same moment that Hayden has gotten the last two celebrations, or it's not next year, it's 25. They're going to bring him out because they're, if you think about the timeline, he's definitely going to be in Mando season 4 as a flashback because that story is not being done being told. I guarantee you that story is part of Dave's little plan that he has going on here.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get the end of that. By the time that releases, we will be at Celebration in April of 25.
Oh, shit.
God, I hope so. I want to be there.
And you know he's going to get a standing ovation if he walks out. So, like, keep that energy going. We're, even if we, Tim hates Jar Jar Binks. And that's okay. It's okay that Tim hates Jar Jar Binks.
I don't hate the Jar Jar actor, Binks, though. I would Jar never Jar like, Binks. I would,
exactly.
I don't hate him. I don't There's like Jar Jar Binks. I don't like the Gungans. I think they're a silly race. They're just not for me. But I would never take that out on the actor.
No, and that's people who took it too far and drove the poor
He's
man
in a mask,
to...
for goodness sake, the entire time. Like, you don't ever even see him.
So, you know, it's great that we're on this redemption road. I'm really happy. But getting back to the point at hand was the range of acting of Hayden in those Clone Wars scenes and in Obi-Wan. Again, I think he played two different versions of the character that he is him for two different shows because it was two different time periods. Now, we see Force Goes Anakin. I would assume he'll be a little more prevalent as a Force Ghost in season two. Am I wrong in that assumption? I feel like we don't just drop him in there and be like, all right, he's guiding you. No, like he's probably going to interact, especially if Sabine can feel him now.
Oh. Yeah. I saw some crazy fan theories that like what Anakin's going to do is he's going to fight Aboleth in the world between worlds to set things right.
It wouldn't be in the world between worlds,
or
it would be in whatever realm that Aboleth
is wherever she's imprisoned or at.
In Legends, it's Luke, but Luke is alive.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about a ghost fighting.
Luke is coming into the story one way or another, whether it's Thrawn, Aboleth, whatever it may be. We will see Luke.
That was an heir to the Empire. Like, Luke fights at one point.
Yeah, so Luke is coming into the story regardless of anything. And I hope to God it's not CGI and it's Sebastian Stan, just like Disney, just do it already. I showed Matt, our tattoo artist, Ben.
Yeah.
The picture of Sebastian Stan next to him, and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's the guy they CG'd over.
He's like, why wouldn't they let him just play Luke? And I'm like, your guess is as good as mine. Like, that's Luke Skywalker.
Because Disney has put themselves in this awkward situation where they've de-aged people instead of casted them with physical actors.
Just stop. We did it with Han and it was fine.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing. Is like the initiative with Han, with Solo, was before Filoni came in. So I think now, because Filoni has set such a like standard for what they do with characters coming back after, you know, so many years, and, you know, like Mark Hamill, he sits there when they filmed Mark Hamill for like the Grogu scenes for Mando season 2.5, they put him there and for reference, and then they put in the body double and all this stuff. So I mean, it's a lot of work to just get that done, whereas you could just use one actor instead. But I think that we can't go backwards now. I think we're stuck with that. I think we're going to see, you know, de-aged Hayden Christensen. We're going to see a de-aged Mark Hamill.
Hayden is fine because he's still
very handsome man. He's only like in his early 40s. Like, he's like, it's not a lot of work. Mark Hamill, on the other hand, there's a lot of work to be done. I mean,
he's pushing 70.
Older. He's older, and that's totally fine. But it just doesn't work for a 30-year-old Luke Skywalker.
But you have your Han. Mm-hmm. You have your Lando. Billie Piper can play her mom's roles. I think no one's going to fight that. Like, I don't see a reason why anyone would be opposed. She was the body double for the Rogue One scene. So why can't she just play her mom's role? And then you have Sebastian Stan as Luke. Who else do you need to recast?
All that I'm saying is that they've set this standard. I don't think you can go back.
Chewie's pretty easy to recast. Like, let's.
Well, yeah, he's already been recast. But I mean, like, look, they brought Tarkin back to life, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but they had to use shadows and everything to manipulate it.
But the technology that at that time wasn't all that great. It was still very clunky. Now look at it. People are look at all the stuff that people are doing with one man shows, with AI and all this other stuff. I mean, like, I still think we're gonna get CGI'd AI video.
I hope not.
Actors.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the advent of technology, like, I think you'll see all the Star Wars actors sign some of the biggest fucking checks you've ever seen in your life so that Disney can have perpetual rights to their images.
That's what James Earl Jones did with his voice.
Yeah. Like, if I was Mark Hamill, I'd be like, $100 million, use me as Luke for whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would, where you'd set it up as some sort of charitable trust. You're like, yeah, all my money goes here. And then you could, you know, every time you go watch a Star Wars movie.
Didn't somebody else play the Vader voice, though, in Obi-Wan? It wasn't James, I thought. Wasn't it somebody else?
I assume they just voice dubbed it at that point. Because they said going forward, James Earl Jones came out saying that they were just going to be using AI. That's why he retired. He's like, I'm not going to be Darth Vader anymore because I could just AI voice it all.
Got it. Okay, so maybe that was it.
I'm pretty sure they just AI voiced it. Dude, there is a TikTok channel that's literally a daily video or a daily inspirational video from Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And there's also the one that has the Obi-Wan Qui-Gon like sitting on the couch ripping Star Wars apart AI.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
that one's
the guy
not...
who does the deep fake stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that one's not as good from a practical standpoint. And sometimes it's funny, not always.
But again, look what people are able to do with just their phones, you know, like, I think, yeah. But this is this tricky realm that we're in right now where, like, you know, like, do you do it? Is it ethical? It'll be interesting to see what the next couple of years look like.
I'm also curious with the stipulations of the settlement with the SAG stuff,
mm-hmm.
if they'll be allowed to.
Well, the Actors Guild stuff isn't done yet, right?
No, they've agreed on the terms. I think they don't think they've signed anything. Gotcha. On the SAG side, not the actors.
Yeah,
stuff.
The Actors
I think
Guild.
The writers
are good. I can't remember the Actors Guild is not.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm curious what that looks like from a settlement standpoint, because I know one of the big pain points was Disney pushing AI.
Yes.
For acting and voice and, you know, basically putting people out of work.
Yeah.
But again, there's an authenticity missing, and that's my point. It was great to see Tarkin come back to life, and I don't mind it for 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to see an entire movie of Tarkin like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would
be
rough.
We lose the authenticity.
You're rough. It would also probably be astonishingly expensive.
Yeah, and it was great to see Leia on, you know, her daughter's body for the finale of Rogue One. But again, I don't want to see that for an entire movie.
Right.
I'd rather her daughter just really honor her mother and play the role.
Or we just those people just go.
We can't. We're too deep into where we are now to say let it go. Remember years ago, Tim, you and I were like, this is probably the end of telling stories here. We're going to move into the High Republic and hopefully the Old Republic. No, they doubled down on what they wanted, which I think it was smart to fill in the blanks between 6 and 7. I think that's smart of them to do in retrospect. I really do, because that was a time period that wasn't really covered in canon. So I think it was good to bridge that gap and understand what happens in between. And that was probably their play the entire time. We just, again, Star Wars loves to tell stories out of order.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, here's the clock, like we said before. No, it's like, we'll do this here, we'll do this here, we'll do this here, 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 here. And then 20 years from now, I'll be like, oh, we finally got the whole picture. Yeah. This is great. I'm going to read the novels, the comic books. So it's what it is. But I don't even know where we're on the Hayden acting tangent. That's
yeah.
how we got here.
Yeah.
So what else, Ben? What else about the show are you like?
Oh
my God.
Well, I was really excited. Like, Force Ghost Anakin at the end was like, I got all choked up and I was like, she was there. He's there. It's there for her. Oh my God. That got me excited. I want to know what's going to happen with Baylan, like in a few ways, right? Because the actor is no longer with us. So like, how are we recasting? Are we continuing that story? Are they just going to kill storyline? In the finale, we got like a few seconds of Scully right at the end with the fucking lightsaber and like what's going on. I have no idea. I'm very interested. And I mean, like you've pointed out on the episodes and when we were texting is that, you know, like Baylan and Scully both represent another mythological set of creatures that bring about Ragnarok by eating the moon and the sun. So we're seeing a lot of representatives of the ending of this sort of duality or the ending of these two sides, showing up in Ahsoka. And it makes me, like I said, it makes me super interested, because we know that the resolution isn't going to happen inside of this space because we know what happens in episodes 7 through 9 and things are still sort of fucked. But maybe we are setting up the greater conflict for what's going to happen after episode 9.
And don't, when you talk about balance too, don't forget one of the big pieces of episode 8 is the temple on Octo that Luke's sitting in when it burns. Remember the seal in the middle of it with the Zepho sitting down?
Yeah.
It's half dark and half light.
Right.
So even the ancient, I guess you call them Jedi force users, whatever, there was an expectation of balance in the ancient times. So I think, Tim, the movie you're excited for, which is the kind of origin stories, will shed more light on what, in the canon version, what was it like?
Yeah.
You know, as far as the and even Yoda seems to be down with the balance when he's talking to Luke there, you know, and Luke's like, we got to save the books. And Yoda's like, hey, you don't need the books. You know, like,
yeah.
So the, I don't know. I think you're right in a lot of the mythological comparisons. You brought up some stuff that I never even had thought of. And that's, again, that's the Joseph Campbell influence in all of this, is that, you know, kind of,
and I will,
way we retell old stories.
Yeah, we do. And I will point this out because, you know, there's also an alternate mythological framework that people point out. You know, and it was getting a lot of attention during the Barbie movie, which is the heroine's journey, or the woman hero's journey, where they essentially take very similar steps, but at the end of the hero's journey, they return to society with what they've learned, and then that's sort of the end of their tale. So it's a circle, and it might be repeatable, but the idea is that the journey for the divine feminine is a spiral. So you go through the journey, but after you bring back what you've learned, you affect and change society with it in a way that starts off your next journey, so like that it continues like that. And I think that might, I'm still doing a lot of research, but I think that might actually be a better long-term storytelling framework, because in our own lives, when we make a change, our life, our story doesn't stop. Yeah. We live our life with that change implemented. Like, I'm in good shape now, right? And I have to live every day like in shape, right? I've made that change. So I think that there is, especially since we saw other sort of deviations with Ahsoka, like going through her transformation before she goes through the dark night of the soul, right? Where she has to do this reckoning with everything that she has been and is. You know, going through that and then going into the whale is a deviation of that story. So I think that we can also kind of keep our eyes out for, okay, Ahsoka has changed completely. She's learned what she needs to learn, but now she is separated from the primary universe, right? So has her return happened yet? Was the return her reuniting with everybody and being kind of introduced into the playing field like Gandalf the White?
I was just about to say, while not feminine, that sounds a lot like Gandalf.
Right. And so we see Gandalf, like, so that's why it's a good myth, like it's a good clock to look at, because it does apply not just in this situation, but you immediately think of Gandalf. You think of other people who they had their death and rebirth, but then they have to come finish out the story. Which might involve more death and more rebirth for them and people around them. So I think that there's a chance that we could look at, we could have this new galaxy be an entire new storytelling set that operates on different rules than and might tell more individual stories. But there's obviously life in this other galaxy. And what if I mean, I don't know if I'm missing anything, but like, what if Ahsoka never comes back? Do we know if she comes back? Or is this as far down the timeline as we've been with her?
It's as far as we've gotten. We don't know, we don't know what happens in the new trilogy with her.
You know?
Yeah, because Dave tweeted years ago, when everyone was asking, like, what happens to Ahsoka after Rebels? That was the big question mark, because no one knew. So people started assuming that she just died before episode 7, and then that was the end of her story. And then Dave randomly, this was like 2-3 years ago, so he was probably writing the show at the time.
Right.
Tweeted a picture that he drew of Gandalf talking to Ahsoka, and Gandalf, there's a word bubble above his head that just said, "Everyone thought I was dead too."
Wow.
This was like 2 years ago. So when that happened in that episode, Tim and I were freaking out, because we're like, it came full circle. Like, he was giving us a hint as to what was to come.
Holy shit.
But I think she's gonna go back to the other galaxy simply for a few, well, some of them will. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she does ascend to some godhood or something like that.
It takes her.
Sabine will get back. Yeah. I will guarantee that. Sabine will get back.
Maybe it takes them a very long time to recover her. And when she comes back, that's episode 10.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And she's the lead. That would be really cool. And
yeah, because Rey's not the lead in 10.
And it would help them, sort of break this 9-episode storyline arc of, like, everybody's bloodlines, which I think, based off all the conversations you're having about the aging people and bringing people back, blah, blah, like, that's the story's been told. I think that when Rey kills Palpatine, that the bloodline story has reached its climax, right? And it's been ended. So
the Skywalker saga.
Yeah. You know, so the Skywalker saga is over. So who better to come in and lead the next generation of Jedi than, you know, Gandalf the White? It just makes sense.
But even Gandalf leaves at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He goes to Valinor in the Grey Havens, and he gets the hell out, because it's the story's over.
So maybe
now Star Wars is a wheel.
Right.
Middle Earth is a line.
Right.
Yeah. That's the primary difference there.
So,
because Middle Earth is supposed to eventually be us. That's the mythology long-term behind that, is that the age of men has come and that's us now. Kind of like, I don't know if you guys finished Battlestar Galactica.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want the ending, or are you going to watch
it? I'm not going to watch it, Kevin, please.
So the Cylons, the organic robots that they create, essentially, which that's such a tragedy you're not going to watch it, because it's one of the best shows I've ever watched. The ending is essentially that at one point in the show, there's a birth between a human and a human and a Cylon. Like, they can conceive, which was the Cylon's like ultimate. We have created organic people. So the whole idea is, because of that person that was born, is that when they get they get to Earth, that there's a little bit of that Cylon in our race now because of that, because it actually takes place in the past, not the future. People think it's the future. It's not. It's the past.
Yeah, we could just go down a rabbit hole with all of that.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's the difference, is Star Wars intended to continue? Is Baylan actually going to break the wheel, which will lead to, like, you know, I think you could have just capped it at episode 9 and went back and told stories. But we know there's another movie coming that's going to take place after that. So to me, that says the wheel has not stopped turning. That's my 2 cents. It continues to turn. Again, Middle Earth is a line. Star Wars is a wheel.
I like
it. So now, does it have to be an Empire or a First Order? No, I hope it's actually a dark side thing that we have to contend with in the future. Now, Tim is hoping for the Visions episode 300 years in the future.
Oh, yeah. I want the Ninth Jedi. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Tim is hoping for. But
it would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, it would. The best thing you can do there is bring the Sith back. And there's only a small amount of Sith and Rey's trying to restart the Jedi Order. Like, that's the best part. But again, then it goes back to what Ben said. Is Rey receiving help to restart the Jedi Order?
Yeah.
And would Ahsoka help at this point? Because she's remained balanced and neutral.
She's also old as fuck by that point.
But if she's ascended to this godhood or whatever it is, there's so much to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack. One could argue that because Ahsoka has sort of transcended the lesson, she can become the teacher, right? Like, that's... Yoda is that. Like, Yoda, when you meet Yoda as a character, that is somebody who has learned the lesson and has then dedicated the rest of his life trying to explain this very esoteric and complicated lesson, which is great because that is, it's a mirror for how we can't talk about our most intimate and internal experiences that have changed us very well because language is limiting.
Right.
So Yoda spent hundreds of years trying to do it, and so now maybe Ahsoka will get a crack at it. Be very interesting.
Yeah, that would. I mean, again, we're not going to get resolution to any of this for many years.
Not at all. It's going to sit in our mind for forever.
But what will we get? Resolution.
Resolution.
Yes. Yes.
I told Tim, this is so morbid, but I'm going to say it. I told Tim, Ben, I was like, the thing that worries me the most is that I could die and then the Star Wars stories will still be told.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't want to miss out on anything, you know?
Right? Like, it's like, again, Lord of the Rings is a line. Like, the story's over. Like, we went to The Hobbit. We did the thing. Like, yeah, there was a fourth book that never came out. But honestly, it was about a Sauron cult. I don't think it was that big of a deal. This is constantly moving and turning, and there's thousands of years in the past of storytelling to do, and it's like, hurry up! My clock's ticking!
Is that what keeps you up at night? Because what keeps me up at night is that the universe is always expanding, and there's so many galaxies out there that I'll never get to experience. There's so many worlds out there, and there's probably all these things that are really cool out there. I'll never get to see it. That's what keeps me up at night.
No, I don't care about that.
I do.
We're nowhere near that.
Space is so vast and cool, and we don't get to experience any of that shit.
No, we're no. Space is scary.
Space is awesome.
Scary.
God.
Go watch Alien again and tell me space is awesome.
I mean, like, that's what you get when, like, you know, when capitalism gets involved with space exploration.
I wouldn't go that far. I think that's just space exploration in general.
Big capitalism.
Whatever,
energy.
Bubble boy.
All right. I like my bubble.
Yeah. Enjoy your bubble.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. We thank you for hanging out. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us today. We should do this again in the future.
Yeah, we should.
We should do this again in the future. But you could go check out Ben. He's Professor Broman everywhere on the internet. He streams on Twitch. So twitch.tv/ProfessorBroman. You can go check out Timmy's youtube.com/darkness429 and darkness429 everywhere on the interwebs. You finished Liza P, by the way.
I did. So happy. That was so good. What a great ending.
Now what? Now what besides Magic the Gathering with you two?
I got to finish Baldur's Gate. And then Lords of the Fallen, Spider-Man 2. That's the...
Do you want to do a really painful stream of teaching me how to play Magic the Gathering?
Yeah.
Like a really painful, like, this is what you do.
I mean, if you make it painful, I will kick you out of the table.
If you do the,
I'm going to be really difficult the whole time, I'll be like, get out of here. What's this land card do, Tim? Kevin, I've explained it to you 5 times. What's this land card do?
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I would love to. Ben and I played with Elder Dragon Hijinks on Monday and got nothing but just positive feedback on that. Everybody loved it. They had a great time.
Yeah. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, I would love to. I think more magic is a
and I'm undefeated, even though they handed me the win.
I have yet to win a game. I have yet to win a game of magic. But I also play in a really sweaty pod, so that's my fault.
I have the Galadriel Commander deck sitting right there. So
well, let's bust it open, put some sleeves on that bitch, and let's go.
I did get a, they gave me a booster pack in there with like three cards. Ooh. And I got some cool Belrog card
too. Yeah, that's just
too.
To really, that's just to get you like hyped up and get that the endorphins going. So you're like, I don't need to buy more packs and open shit.
Well, Mike was telling me to, under no circumstances, buy booster packs and just go online and buy individual
Correct.
Cards.
Yeah, it's better to just go and build your deck if you actually want to build it versus... Huh. I mean, unless you want the satisfaction of, like, pulling cards and, like, you can turn it into, like, content and stuff, it's Pokemon all over again. You're like, man, I hope I get this Charizard. Fuck, I went through 10 packs, no Charizard. You know, where you could just go online and you could just buy the Charizard that you want for your deck. So it's just a little more expensive in the front end, but, like, overall, it's... For a budget, it's better.
All right. Yep. All right. Well,
it's going to be exciting.
Magic the Gathering. Maybe we'll see me open this deck.
Yep.
But cool. Well, please rate, review, subscribe. Star Wars and Scotch, as always, we appreciate all of the nice messages and all the feedback you give us. So we would appreciate you continue to do that. Tim, we have to settle on what comic we want to cover next week because people were asking what we want to do there. So Tim and I will talk about that offline. And you will see some guests again coming in the future because in between shows, we love to have our friends on and chat about things. So Star Wars and Scotch, Star Wars Scotch everywhere in the internet. Rate, review, subscribe, do all the things. Thank you so much. Your GCX tickets are on Friday. Your Lab 77 merch is available now. And King's Coast is in full autumn swing with barrel release on Friday.
Pog.
But Tim!
May the force be with you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.